WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Hopefully you all had a great weekend. I tell you what, if you are a Michigan sports fan, no matter what the sport, whether it be college football as Michigan State handles business, how about the Detroit Lions? I mean, my goodness, this guy, it was a great, great weekend for Michigan sports, okay? But we're going to try to cover all our bases today. We're going to talk some Lions. We're going to talk about MSU football, bring to you our weekend winners, as well as so much more. Again, folks, if you want to call in and weigh in on today's discussion, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. But before we get to all of the heated debate, let's begin our show like we always do with our current sports quick hit headliners brought to you today by the man, Jock DeWitt.
I'm Jack DeWitt, here to bring you the current sports quick hit headliners for Monday, October 20. Matthew Stafford tossed two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes to edge the Saints 24-23. Corey Fuller caught the game-winning touchdown with a minute and 48 seconds left in the fourth quarter on a third and goal after he elevated high in the back of the end zone and made a great effort to get 2 feet down in bounds. Stafford threw for 229 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. Peyton Manning broke Brett Favre's career touchdown passing record of 509 after he threw four touchdowns in last night's win against the San Francisco 49ers. Manning also broke Tom Brady's record for touchdown passes in the season after he threw for 55 last year. Manning currently leads the league for touchdown passes this year with 19 through week 7. After trailing 17-14 against the Hoosiers, Michigan State scored 42 straight points to top Indiana 56-17. Connor Cook finished the game with 332 passing yards on 24 of 32 attempts. Michigan State also rushed for 330 yards, with Nick Hill rushing for 178 yards and Jeremy Langford breaking the 100-yard mark in his 11th consecutive Big Ten game. Michigan State will play Michigan this Saturday at 3:30 in Spartan Stadium. Tiger Stadium, Wrigley Field, Busch Stadium, and Fenway Park are stadiums that Missouri developers are looking to replicate for Little Leaguers following a zoning approval. The stadiums will be built on a two-thirds scale of the actual ballparks. Archie Manning has decided to leave the playoff committee that will determine the 4-team college playoff, citing health reasons. Manning had knee surgery earlier this year and has been experiencing some discomfort as of late. NASCAR driver Brad Keselowski won the Geico 500 at Talladega this weekend. Keselowski's win kept him alive for the chance to take the Sprint Cup Championship. He was fined $50,000 earlier this week by NASCAR. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Take it away, Al.
Jock, my man. Appreciate that. Again, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. So much to talk about, so little time. Again, it's Monday. And the reason, you know, I love Mondays because there's just so much to talk about with everything that ensues in the sporting weekend. I mean, we try to cram it up into 1 hour. We try to do our best, but, you know, and we got a lot of points to make as we'll talk about the Lions, you know, Michigan State football, bring you our weekend winners. We even talk about Peyton Manning, you know, etching his place in the legacy of football fandom, I guess you can say. I mean, you know, 509, I mean, that's just ridiculous. So much to talk about, though, folks. And again, we'll be opening our phone lines throughout this entire hour. If you want to call in and weigh in on anything, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And you know, I got to start off today's show by talking about a team that everyone is talking about right now in this state. That team being the Detroit Lions. I mean, my goodness. I was sitting there watching that game, and when Detroit was down in the fourth quarter with about 3 minutes left. You know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, there's no way. No way this team can come back. It's a 13-point deficit. The Lions, historically, it's the same old Lions. They're going to close out this game, you know, ho-hum, the Lions lose to the Saints. I'm going to have to go on Current Sports the next day and sort of retract everything that I said that they can win without Megatron, because I proclaimed that they would win, you know, up until the bye week and beat the Saints. So I was sitting there planning, okay, how will I retract this and sort of, you know, justify why the Lions lost on Sunday, you know, writing down notes as to why they would lose. And all of a sudden, something happened where Matthew Stafford, he finds Golden Tate. Golden Tate, you know, just a regular route, you know, seam route to the sideline. Golden Tate catches it and then takes it all the way to the house. So I'm sitting there like, okay, all right, well, you know, my pen stopped writing down a few notes. I'm like, okay, well, let's just see what happens here. Next thing you know, Drew Brees gets intercepted. And I'm sitting there, okay, the Lions have a chance here. And then, as we all know, the Detroit Lions end up coming all the way back. Matthew Stafford finding Corey Fuller in the back of the end zone to tie the game. And then, you know, we put it in the hands of Prater to, you know, kick the field goal to put them up by 1 point. The Lions end up winning. I could not believe what took place in that short amount of time. Again, I'm looking at the clock. There's about 3 minutes left in the game. The Lions are down by 13 points to the New Orleans Saints, a team that historically, if you look at his recent history with this team, they're constantly competing for Super Bowl championships. Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. This is a statement game if you beat the Saints. And the Detroit Lions made that statement heard loud and clear. It's so alarming because, you know, with this win, I don't know about you folks, but with this win, I'm sort of sensing a bit of a culture change for the Honolulu Blue. I don't know if you agree, but I turned off the TV and took a break for a sec before watching my Cowboys, of course, and thought to myself, if this was the Detroit Lions of old, they wouldn't have won this game. They would have had no choice to win this game. There is a culture shift happening within this Detroit Lions organization that I frankly haven't seen. Now, maybe it's premature. Maybe I'm getting a little too excited here. Maybe I should slow my roll a little bit. But I tell you what, that the overall feeling of what took place after that game in my noggin was one that I've never felt before watching the Detroit Lions game. I am completely sold. I am sold, folks, that with that win over the New Orleans Saints, that this Detroit Lions team can legitimately now compete for a Super Bowl championship. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, folks. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And it's so alarming because my stepdad, I was in Detroit this past weekend, and my stepdad, you know, he was out and about working during that day. Didn't get to see much of the game, but, you know, he was following it with his smartphone. He went into Walgreens after seeing that the Lions had won that game on his phone. It's in Detroit. This is like in Walgreens right down the street from my mom's house. And he walks into Walgreens, and there's a, you know, the cashier sitting there like, oh, man, those Lions, the same old Lions. I knew they were going to lose. The same old song each and every year. They start off hot, and you got all these high hopes, and they can't even pull out a game when they need it most. And my stepdad overheard him and is like, yeah, you know, they won that game. And he's like, no, I watched just about all of it. I was following on my phone. The Lions lost. He's like, no, they end up pulling that game out and winning by 1 point. And he absolutely goes nuts, cannot believe it, had to recheck his phone and starts losing his mind. I started dying laughing when he told me this story because, I mean, it's just that notion and that feeling that cashier had that I had when watching that game, too, and I'm sure many of you did. But I tell you what, when talking about the culture change that's happening with this organization, folks, I think it definitely starts at the very head of this organization, coaching-wise. That being, of course, head coach Jim Caldwell. Something that stood out to me, and it was brought up by the announcers as well, was when the Lions were down that game, and you had the second pick from after Matthew Stafford, which wasn't his fault. That second interception was totally wasn't his fault. But you look on the sidelines, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, but again, announcers pointed this out. Jim Caldwell always looks so cool. It doesn't matter. He doesn't look flustered. It doesn't look as though he's hitting the panic button. He's just even keel and not going. He shows really no emotion on the sideline. Really kind of a stone-cold, serious face. Sort of like Mark D'Antonio, to be honest with you, on the sideline, if you've seen him walking the sidelines. But, you know, that really stood out to me because there's no panic with Jim. And, you know, you could just sense that, you know, I always say a head coach is a reflection of a team's personality. And I really believe that the Lions players are really rallying behind playing for Jim Caldwell and are giving him every single ounce of energy, every single ounce of effort they can. I get the feeling that with Jim Caldwell as the head coach of the Lions organization right now, I get the feeling that the players love coaching for this guy. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about Jim Caldwell, but I get that perception. Just looking at the mannerisms of these players, looking at Jim Caldwell's demeanor, I mean, it's truly unbelievable. Now, when looking at this game, diving more into it here, hey, hats off to the defense. Detroit Lions are showing again and reiterating why they are one of the best, if not the best defense in the league right now. I mean, hey, Ndamukong Suh, he was a force all game in the middle. All game he was a force, making plays happen. How about DeAndre Levy? 11 tackles for DeAndre. He brought it. C.J. Mosley, James Ihegbo, the strip and the fumble. I mean, my goodness. I mean, they're making plays every single game. Unbelievable. I can't praise this Detroit Lions defense enough. And then when you need to stop the most, when Detroit did take that one-point lead, the Saints still had a drive left. Breeze still had a chance to make magic happen and burn the Lions' comeback. Maybe the Lions' defense of old maybe would have given up a touchdown or a field goal or a big play to put them in field goal range. But I tell you what, there's a change in culture happening, even with this defense as well. Drew Breeze went 2 of 10 on those last two drives, folks. 2 of 10. How about that? Against one of the NFL's best quarterbacks coming into that game, the number 2 ranked offense. And Detroit shut them down. Drew Brees goes 2 for 10 on the last two drives of the game for a total of 7 yards. Wow. Wow. And how about Golden Tate? Golden Tate is just playing out of his mind. Just a minute ago, I mentioned, of course, that touchdown to give the Lions life, which really was done on the fact of Golden Tate's feet. You know, it was not a great throw, it wasn't a precisely thrown ball to Golden Tate. You know, just a regular route to the sidelines. Golden Tate, you know, shakes away from one defender and then just turns on the Jets, which I didn't even know. I had no idea Golden Tate had Jets on him until that play. I mean, he just took off in the open field and said, bye-bye, I'm taking this to the house. It seemed as though Golden Tate is sort of bringing, you know, sort of a championship mentality to this Detroit Lions team that hasn't been invoked on this offense, to be honest with you. Golden Tate coming from the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks team to the Lions. I mean, Golden Tate just makes plays. He gets the job done. Unbelievable. And looking at him, he had 10 catches for 154 yards. Those are both career highs. Career highs for Golden Tate. With an offense that is missing the best wide receiver in the game, Megatron, Calvin Johnson, out again. Eric Ebron was also lacking from that offense due to injury. Golden Tate, you can count on this man to make plays. He just gets the job done. And again, that late TD, again, looking here at the stats of that touchdown, 65 yards of that 73-yard touchdown, 65 of them came off the legs of Golden Tate. He's not just catching the ball, getting tackled, and going out of bounds or so on and so forth. He's making catches and making plays with his feet after the catch. I mean, it's truly, truly remarkable. So, hey, folks, I'm sold. I'm sold right now. The Lions have turned a corner for me. This was a huge game for them. Looking at the logistics of the game, being down to a team like New Orleans and making a comeback like this, I am now sold that the Lions have turned over a new leaf and legitimately can compete for a Super Bowl. What are your thoughts? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I now am joined by my engineer, the man behind the glass, Alex Shark. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Al, are you, you're sitting down, you're comfortable in the chair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to do something. I want you to pick up that right leg, take it off the chair,
get down
from your high horse, and realize that the Lions did not beat a good team.
Okay, here's Nancy negative. I'm trying to start the week off on a positive note.
Hey, you know
what? The Lions get a big win, and then Nancy negative, Alex Shar, comes and has to rain on my parade to start the week. Okay, break it down, brother.
Now, look, I'm not saying that the win against New Orleans wasn't good. It was great. I mean, Golden Tate showing that he probably was the best free agent signing in the NFL.
I would argue that that was the best free agent signing in Lions history.
Wow.
Well, I would argue that. I can make a legit case for that
but
go ahead.
You could. But regardless of how good the signing was and the play he made at the end of the game and them winning and a comeback victory against the Saints, you have to realize, listeners, that this New Orleans Saints team is not the same team that made the playoffs years ago when they beat the Lions. This is a completely different New Orleans Saints team. Jimmy Graham has been irrelevant so far. Drew Brees has not been on his game. He's had a lot of pressure. The Saints are 2-4. It would be one thing if the Saints had a winning record and didn't lose to horrible teams before they played the Lions, Al. You know, they lost to some pretty bad teams. They barely beat the Vikings. Barely beat them. And so did the Lions, I guess.
I hear where you're going.
The problem with it is that I'm not going to say anything about the Lions changing history and going on. I'm not going to jump on the horse with the saddle until the Lions can beat a team with a winning record, which they haven't in the last four games.
Alex, this is a Saints team that every single year is in the discussion to possibly win a Super Bowl. Every year. And you're going against the number two efficient offense, most efficient offense in the entire league. And looking at I understand the opponent here, the conversation you're trying to make. Defensively, the Saints aren't great. But let's be honest here. In the past, if you would have said the Lions were down 13 points with about 3 minutes left in the game and won the game, pulled it out, a miracle to pull it out, I would have laughed at you. I would have laughed in your face and said, there's no way that the Detroit Lions did that, because history has shown that they cannot win it when facing adversity late in the game. To come the way they came back, not being rattled, being still confident, because it's easy. I mean, looking at the Lions teams of past, with a deficit like that, with only not that much time left in the game, they would have checked out. They would have said, oh, we've lost. Let's play this one out. Chalk it up as a loss. Move on to next week. The Lions teams of the past would have done that. I had brought out this notebook, and I was writing down why the Lions lost on Sunday. And all of a sudden, you know, I go to the bathroom and come back. Golden Tate, touchdown. Drew Brees, intercepted. And then all of a sudden, the Lions rally down the field, and Matthew Stafford did a great job of finding Corey Fuller in the back of the end zone for the touchdown. Those three things would have never happened with Lions teams of old.
You're telling me that when Garcia, Joey Harrington, you can go on and on about past Lions quarterbacks.
Exactly. You're saying
what the Lions are down by two touchdowns, which, granted, that's not a lot of points. Two touchdowns
with
isn't a lot.
With 3 minutes left, the Detroit Lions, Alex, come on, brother.
You're telling me
Be honest with me.
I am being honest with you.
Lions teams of the past, with 3 minutes left in the game, down by 13, would have won games? They've never done it.
Not one game.
That's never happened
but
before.
But they would have passed down the field attempting
stop
to get a touchdown.
Stop it, Alex.
They're not checking out and running the ball.
They've never done. The Lions have never come back.
Please, Jeff
with
Garcia.
With three minutes left in the game against the New Orleans Saints, for goodness sake, and won a game. The Lions have never done this before.
I know they've never done it before, but what I'm saying is it's not like the teams before then were checking out and just running the ball and giving up the game. They're still going to try to win. Jeff Garcia was notorious for going down the field for late game runs.
Garcia, are you really bringing up Jeff Garcia now?
That's a past Lions team.
And comparing them to this Lions team? That is disrespectful to this Lions team this season, man. That's ridiculous. You got Matthew Stafford, a guy who I think Matthew Stafford is getting better week by week. Now, there's a lot of people out there to look at, you know, last year especially with all the turnovers and whatnot. But Matthew Stafford, to me, he could have played better than he did yesterday. But still, he brushed off a lot of adversity in that game and really made throws when he needed to make plays. And the same can be said for this Lions. This Lions defense, Alex, is the best Lions defense I've ever seen. I've never seen a Detroit Lions defense play this well.
It is, but the fact lies at the end of the day. New Orleans Saints, 2-4. The Jets, 1-3.
Oh,
the
boy.
Vikings, 2-4.
But Alex, this still is the Saints we're talking about, though. This is the team. The Saints is actually the team I picked to win the Super Bowl. And multiple people picked this team to win the Super Bowl.
Hey, you're crazy, man.
But no, looking at this Saints team on paper, they are unbelievable. And again, this is the number two offense in the league, Alex. The number two offense in the league. So I understand. I always say this saying sometimes. Records don't tell the whole story. This is a Saints team that really hasn't closed out games. They showed that yesterday against the Lions. And this is a team that is still tremendously talented. But looking at how the Lions were able to win this game, though, being down by 13 with 3 minutes left. Again, I'm harping on that because I keep repeating it because that's so alarming. The Lions don't win games like that. And for them to pull that out, it showed a lot about where this team is mentally. This team is turning the corner, folks. And I am drinking the Kool-Aid right now that this team will be in contention of the Super Bowl after this game, because they showed me a lot of things. This is going to be. This was the litmus test.
Listen
for them.
Up, Radio Flash. Al Martin says this team is a Super Bowl contender.
They are a Super Bowl contender. That's right, baby. If you disagree with me, call on up. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at Al Martin WKR and even at our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKAR. _sports.
Now, Al, I'm looking at the Lions' schedule this year.
Yeah,
and it is favorable. I mean, they only play one team that's in first place right now, which is the Patriots, coming up in a few weeks. So, as much as the Lions are winning games, I agree that they are a playoff contender. But when it comes to playing the first place Ravens or the Pats or that, for me, is going to be the big test.
They can beat every team on this schedule. They can beat every team.
The Falcons.
We see the Patriots haven't been great this year. I don't know if you've been watching the Patriots, Alex, but they have not been great this year. Especially they had that blowout loss.
No, they just had one week that
four.
They weren't good. That was one week.
Yeah, they bounced back. The offense has nobody other than, if you look at Tom Brady, I mean, Tom Brady has one weapon in Gronkowski, and the defense hasn't been great all year either. So don't even get on me with the Patriots. The Lions can beat every team. Falcons, Dolphins, Cardinals, Patriots, Bears. They can beat everybody on this schedule week to week to week, Alex. We have a caller right now on line one. JT, how you doing? You're on Current Sports.
Hey, how you doing, Al?
I'm doing good, my man.
I love your show, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, doing a good job after Earl. I watched that whole game. I don't know why, because usually I give up. I change the channel, but I did watch it, and they didn't win, but I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. Before the year started, I told everybody, now watch, the Lions are going to start out 7-2, 6-3, or 6-2. Mm-hmm. How many times we've seen this, and then they rip your heart out. And now I'm rooting for them, and I love my Lions, but I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but they always rip our hearts out. But the only thing I am positive about is if we start out 6-2 or like 5-2 where we are now,
mm-hmm.
is we have a better defense. And you win championships with defense.
Right.
And it's amazing to me with the defensive backs that we got and the guys got hurt and second stringers are coming in and they're playing awesome. And a lot of that's to do with our defensive line, of course.
Right.
A good defensive line makes defensive backs look great. And that's the only thing I'm kind of excited about is our chances of starting out good like we do, we have in the past, is because of our defense. I don't think Stafford can take us to the promised land, though. I just don't.
Hey, JT, good take on that, my man. Thanks a lot for the call.
But he waits too long to throw the ball. He's not kind of relief.
Well, JT, if you look at it, you know, one alarming thing that you can't say about Matthew Stafford in the offensive line, and I mentioned this coming into this Lions and Saints matchup before Sunday. If you look at it, Matthew Stafford has been sacked the most times in the NFL compared to any other quarterback in the entire league. I believe it's like at 21 right now. He was sacked a total of 23 times all of last year. So, yes, I think it's a three-headed monster with that. I think the defensive line the offensive line has to play better. Again, and you hit it right on the head, JT, Matthew Stafford has to learn when to throw the ball away. He holds onto the ball way too long. And I think another reason is that his receivers have to do a better job of getting open. There's multiple plays sometimes where the receivers just the route running needs to be more crisp. I have no problems with Golden Tate. Golden Tate is the best receiver on this team statistically so far. But the other receiving personnel on that team, the route running isn't as crisp as it could be. So I definitely see that area. They got to do a better job at protecting
Matthew. Don't we have the same offensive line as last year?
I believe so. We can check on
why the change then. Shouldn't we be better?
Yeah, I totally agree. But, again, that's coupled with two other areas with the wide receivers and Matthew Stafford holding on to the ball too long. Just like you said, JT, Matthew Stafford has to learn, hey, I got to take an L here. Let me throw it out of bounds. Let me live to play another down.
Hey, all I got is go
stay. There you go. Thanks a lot, JT. Good perspective there. And yeah, it is rivalry week, folks, and we'll be taking your calls on the excitement all week. We'll be taking your calls on this, on just the excitement of Michigan State and Michigan. Maybe, you know, it lacks a bit of luster this Saturday because this Michigan football team is certainly having a ton of hurdles, to say the least. But, hey, it's still rivalry week nonetheless. What gets you amped about this game? What are you looking forward to the most on Saturday? We'll be taking your calls on that as well. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into MSU. Just chalking up another W. Handling business, okay, over Indiana. And there was no problem with that fourth quarter this time. All right, folks, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls and dive into some Sparty football, all right? Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday. Yes, it's Monday. October 20th. Hopefully you all are having a great start to your week, a productive one to say the least. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great again. You know, you heard my Lions rant. I'm Mr. Positive today. I'm feeling good about this Lions team. Alex has a different take on it. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire hour to talk about anything, any thoughts you have, you know, any quarrels you have. You know, if you just want to call in and say, hey, we'll take your call on that as well. 517-355-9527. We have a caller on line one. It's our dear friend Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Ray, how you doing?
Freddie Frontsong and the boys are coming to town.
Yes, Michigan will be in East Lansing to take on Michigan State, the coveted rivalry game, on Saturday here at Spartan Stadium. What are your thoughts on it, Ray?
Frontsong told me they're going to steal the Big Ten title from you guys. Oh, that.
I tell you what, man, looking at this game, for me personally, I think Michigan State fans are honestly looking past Michigan right now. I think Michigan right now is just the program is in such shambles right now. This isn't a great football team. Let's just tell it like it is. It's not a matter of if Michigan State can beat Michigan. It's a matter of win for me, Ray.
Well, you remember Michael Hart said They're your big brother. They're going to come up there. The big brother's going to bully you around and see if you little brothers have grown up yet.
Ray, are you trying to spark our East Lansing callers to call in right now? I think you're poking the bear a little bit right now, Ray.
Would I do that?
Gotta love it.
Michael Hart said, didn't you?
Oh, how can you not forget that? I mean, Mike Hart started the whole little brother fiasco, if you will.
Look how little he is.
Yeah. So Ray, you being you've been analyzing this rivalry for quite some time. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday, my man?
Well, you know, Freddie Flintstone says that's the best defense they've had since 1997.
Well, what does Ray think?
Do you think he's on drugs or what? That coach.
I tell you what, I haven't given a prediction yet, but I think Michigan. I don't think it'll be a blowout like it was last year, I don't think it'll be such a dominating performance like it was last year. I mean, Michigan State just exerted itself into just a whomping of the Wolverines. What is it, negative 48 rushing yards? I mean, that's unbelievable. I don't think it'll be to that level of dominance, but Michigan State wins by at least two touchdowns, I think.
When did Alabama win by Saturday?
Oh, yeah, they came out angry that game. Nick Saban and them boys came out angry on Saturday.
That's what I want you guys to do.
Yeah.
Take it out on them. Put a good whipping on them, okay?
Well, hey, I'm not the one padding up, man. Talk to D'Antonio, Ray.
I know, but you tell the coach, remember those statements. I'm on the bulletin board for Saturday.
There you go. All right, Rick.
Beat those bullies from down Ann Arbor. And Freddie Flintstone. You know, wear your Freddie Flintstone costume for Halloween, you know, this Saturday.
All right. And that is Ray, folks, the always enthusiastic, always controversial caller. Gotta love that. Ray, Alex, just a real quick preview. I mean, with it being rivalry week, as you just heard, I mean, it seems as though everybody, no matter what condition either one of these teams are in, Michigan State and Michigan could both be winless coming into this game on Saturday. It's still one of those rivalries that you get up for and you got to see. You know, I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere. For me, the thing I look forward to the most is the atmosphere of the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry. Because I got a lot of friends at Michigan who will be coming up for the tailgating and whatnot. And I tell you what, no matter what, even though this has been such a rocky season for the Wolverines, they still think that they're going to win.
Right. And that's the thing. There's no elephant in the room here. The fans know that Michigan is not a good team this year. So
yeah, they know it.
They know that the Big Ten title is a 0-100 chance. They know that their season's over. But what they can play for is to basically doom Sparty in the top four BCS playoff poll. So that's what they're playing for.
Do we really think
that's
going to happen, though? I mean, that's so far-fetched.
The fans are overlooking it, which if Michigan State kind of overlooks it and they're looking more towards Ohio State in the future, maybe that could hurt them too. But I mean, the spread's so high already. I don't see it being that close.
I don't think this would be close.
You know, at the beginning of the year, this was my game. I thought the Spartans might lose.
Yeah, that was yours. And I think I circled Nebraska and Indiana, and you see what happened. Happened so far with those games. But I don't think this would be close at all. We have another caller right now online too, Mike from Saginaw. How you doing, Mike? You're on Current Sports.
What's going on, Elmar? I want to talk about Notre Dame and Florida State. Was you impressed with Jameis Winston, or did the referees take that game away?
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is something actually I watched live. I watched the highlights again before I took the air today. The referees took that game away from Notre Dame, if you ask me, Mike. I thought that the pass interference play that they called was totally unwarranted. You're out there just making a block, you know, like Kelly said, like they're coached to do. I thought they took that game away from Notre Dame. Notre Dame should be the victor, and FSU should have an etch on that record right now. I never thought, and you know, looking at Florida State, I think Florida State is totally overrated in the first place. I've always thought that way, even coming into this year. Jameis Winston, don't get me wrong. I mean, we're talking about a Heisman Trophy winner here. I mean, Jameis Winston is certainly talented on the gridiron, but the overall makeup of that team isn't as good as advertised, I will say. I thought Notre Dame played great. They are having one outstanding season. And I think when the committee sits down, which is now down from 13 to 12, I don't know if you saw, but Archie Manning, he just dropped out of that committee. But when they sit down and analyze all of these teams and who deserves to be in the playoff, they're going to look at Notre Dame. They're going to give a really close look at Notre Dame, especially if they win out. If Notre Dame wins out, which I think they will do, they're going to look at that game against FSU and look at that play in that moment. And, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame gets in if they win out this season. But it was a fantastic game.
Do you think Golston made a difference from the last season to this season?
I think Golston has just consistently improved year to year to year. I mean, he's just gotten better. I mean, the way he's reading defenses this year, his pocket presence is very impressive. I think Golston is a guy who's just getting better year to year to year. He was impressive.
Okay, I want to talk about MSU and way they rolled over on Indiana and everything. It's like Michigan State. It's being Michigan like 30 years ago, and Michigan is being Michigan 30 years ago.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm laughing because I said it's like Mark D'Antonio is like he has a philosophy, you know, and he's sticking to it. You know, they have a program now. All the college coaches in football and basketball talk about they have a program. If you got a program, you can put your system in. If you don't have a program, you can't put your system in. And that's the difference between the old MSU and the new Michigan right now. And that's what, especially in football, I think football has a lot to do with putting your program together more than basketball. Even though I favor towards basketball because you got this more intimate setting, but football is the same way. Do you have a problem with the students at Michigan protesting? I think it's something about the students want the tickets, want their ticket prices lower than Friday, Brandon. I'll take it off the air and let you opine on that thing.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the call, my man. But, yeah, you know, with as far as the students protesting, I mean, it just, you know, just to put it in perspective here, the fact that students are protesting and got to that point, it just kind of puts in perspective just how bad this situation has gotten over at U of M. You know, now, and I think this has a big thing to do with it too, with that situation with Shane Morris, with Hulk leaving him in when he shouldn't have, and so on and so forth, concussions are such a sensitive topic in the world of sports today. We've seen the detrimental effects that it could have with former players years down the line. We've seen the mess that the NFL was currently entangled upon with all of these former players looking to sue the league, which things have sort of changed in that story as well, which we'll get later on in the week and dive into that discussion. But with all of that, coupled with the fact that this team is losing, hey, the students are frustrated. And you bring up the whole student section quarrel that they're having over there. They're frustrated right now. With everything that's going on with this university, they're frustrated. And I was surprised because I've never seen this program in this state that it is. You know, watching Michigan football, you know, and seeing how this program has had such a storied history as the winningest college football program in all of the sport. I've never seen this program in a state of desperation in this type of mood all the years I've been watching Michigan football. So students haven't either. And, you know, they're at a point right now where that frustration is sort of boiling over, where they want to let their voice be heard. And unfortunately, we live in a society right now where it's a what have you done for me lately society. And it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. And you can even argue the fact that Brady Hoke hasn't done much in Michigan's past, considering the fact they've only won two Big Ten championships out of his whole tenure there. But that's another discussion. But looking at everything that's happened this season, the students are frustrated and they want to let their opinion be heard. And, you know, so I'm not surprised in that regard that they did. But now going back to this rivalry game, I mean, I talk about a culture change, Alex. This is certainly a culture change because this would be the first time since 1966, where Michigan State and Michigan will meet, where the Spartans are ranked in the top 10, and Michigan isn't ranked at all. This is the first time this has happened since 1966. Talk about a culture change. That's in your face.
Yeah, and what gets more in your face is look, didn't Michigan say the exact same thing when Rich Rodriguez took over was, wait 2 to 3 years, the fans are going to have to be patient until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a year goes by, 2 years goes by, still losing record. Third year, they get to something a little bit more even. He's gone. More losing records. Three more losing records continue. So the thing about it is it's not the cupcake walk anymore. There's no more let's wait and see. The time is now. It's been, what, 6 years, 7 years between Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke together? There's no more waiting.
Right.
It's in your face. Michigan State is clearly, as you've seen, through prestige, through recruiting. I hate to bring that word out with you, but I'm going to say it. Recruiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Through basically national recognition. The Spartans are going a lot more out of state and have a lot more national coverage than ever before.
Yeah, because they're winning. That's what it comes down to. And the culture at Michigan, and you talk about, you know, Hoke's tenure and the time is now. But isn't the time always now or supposed to be now for Michigan? They're expected to compete for national championships every year. The time is always now for that program. So the leash is shorter than any other program. You could argue that any other program in this entire nation other than the Bama's and the FSU. So, I mean, it's certainly definitely frustrating. But, you know, now really quickly, talking about this Michigan State-Indiana game. We haven't even broken that down yet, Alex. You know, I thought it was very impressive how the Spartans, you know, with all of the talk, oh, in the fourth quarter, they can't close out games. Can they step on the throat? You know, that type of thing. Oh, boy, they did that and then some on Saturday. They finished. Simple as that. I mean, Michigan State, I mean, they held Indiana to a complete shutout. I mean, Indiana didn't even score in that second half. And, you know, with that rocky second quarter, too, because let's be honest, that second quarter was really, really rocky with the, you know, the terrible MSU run defense. And they were actually they were down in that game, too. And then to Connor Cook's sort of inaccuracy, I guess you could say, I mean, my goodness, I'm sitting like, oh, my, what is going on here?
Granted, that running back is in Heisman conversation, so give it to him. He honestly is higher up than I'd say Abdullah right now on the Heisman.
Yeah, but still,
pole.
I mean, those were just missed tackles, though. I mean, remember on that reverse?
Yeah.
I mean, three guys missed the tackle when he takes it all the way to the house for a touchdown.
Right.
Michigan State being ranked fifth in the nation as far as run-stop defense is concerned, that doesn't happen. And looking at the second half, pretty much flawless. Xander was definitely a tall, seeing as though he's a freshman QB, coming in, and having to go against the Spartans of all teams in the Big Ten Conference. He relied on that running game a lot, and I thought that he would because, you know, anytime you got those Spartans who are historically great at stopping the run, you don't want to put your fate in the hands of a freshman QB who doesn't have a lot of experience. So they put the ball on the ground a lot. They had some success in the fourth quarter or the second quarter, and just things started to change as soon as those gates were open for the second half. Nick Hill, how great has he been, folks? 178 yards against Indy. Tony Lippitt was fantastic, and he has been fantastic all year. 7 catches for 123 yards. And I tell you what, man, that one catch he had on in the third quarter, over the shoulder, 41 yards. I almost lost my mind watching it. It was on ESPN SportsCenter all night. Tony Lippitt, my goodness, the kid is good. And he's unbelievable right now. Tony Lippitt is playing out of his mind.
Right.
And in many respects, sort of bailed out Connor Cook a few times in that game as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Regardless of how Tevin Coleman ran and Michigan State missed assignments, it's the resiliency. I mean, after Connor Cook threw the interception, he's done that a couple times this year. He threw a big interception. Indiana took the lead at that point.
Mm-hmm.
To come back and go right down the field to Josiah Price right after that and get that lead back and really controlling the momentum on the road, that for me was the biggest thing for Michigan State. Aside from the Oregon game, you could hear it switch. I think they learned from that. The momentum definitely swung when Indiana took that lead. The fans couldn't believe it, albeit it was early. But at the end of the day, this team, like you said, Lippitt, the right people at the right times, bailing some of the other guys out. Lippitt bailing out Cook, Price, making the big play. So at the end of the day, this team is definitely consistent and resilient.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Michigan State. I always say this. Michigan State right now with the personnel they have, Michigan State can be as good as they want to be. And the reason I say that is because when Michigan State is on, when they are locked in on both sides of the ball, they are as good as any team in this nation, I believe. They can beat anybody. But when they have those little middle mistakes and let the door open just a little bit, things sort of go downhill. This Michigan State team has the potential. They have the potential. It's just about approaching the game mentally ready each and every game. And I love it. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off, Alex, but I don't know if you saw this report, which I thought was very interesting. D'Antonio actually held a coach's senior meeting with all of the seniors of the team. He sat down with the seniors last week after, of course, all the talk about the fourth quarter blunders in the past 2 weeks. And he sat down and talked with the seniors, and he said, hey, as coaches, it's our job to make sure you guys are ready out the gates in that first quarter to play. And it's also our job to make sure you're ready out the gates in that third quarter to play. But the second and fourth quarters are on you guys. You guys have to motivate your teammates and to keep them in that consistent realm mentally to not let up and to keep the foot on the gas. I thought that was an interesting take, and I think it definitely, obviously, I think, showed true fruition in that Indiana game, because they were, after that, I mean, they were ready. After that first half, Michigan State came out the gates ready, folks. And a real quick statistic before we hit the first break, folks. If you didn't know, Michigan State had 662 total yards in that game. It is the second most total yards in Michigan State history, recording 705, only behind 705 in 2005. How about that? 666 total yards for Michigan State. Unbelievable. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we still have weekend winners to get to, as well as Peyton Manning. We wrap up his legacy as he now becomes the all-time touchdown throwing leader. Don't go anywhere, folks. We return in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday. Alex Shark likes to call it Martis Monday because each and every Monday we play music in and out of our breaks centered on one artist, and we call it Martis Monday. Why, Alex? Why is that?
Artists that start with the letter M.
There you go. Artists start the letter M because it's Monday. And today's is, of course, Michael Jackson. If you don't know those tunes that we've been playing, you need to go and pull up your iTunes, folks. MJ, one of my favorite artist of all time. Shout out to Michael. Rest in peace, Michael Jackson. All right. Well, I now bring with us to join the discussion to wrap up the show, Jock DeWitt, our outstanding intern. And I call him our Detroit Lions expert because Jock, I mean, he writes a, I don't know, have you seen Jock's analysis of the games? I mean, he goes and breaks down every position and gives his own take on it. I mean, it's remarkable, Jock. I mean, he's sitting in here. He's got on his Ndamukong Suh Lions jersey with the cap. I mean, hey, Jock, you got to be feeling good, my man.
I'm feeling great after this week, and it was unbelievable comeback for Detroit.
It was. So what are your thoughts? You heard my spiel on it. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid now. Of course, you heard our caller JT and Alex. They may be sipping. Are you at least sipping the Kool-Aid? I'm guzzling it down right now. Okay, I'm like Gatorade showering.
I'm tasting.
You're just tasting it.
Just
okay,
tasting it.
I added a lot of sugar in mine. I'm downing it right now. All right, but what are your thoughts on the Lions this past weekend, Jock?
This past weekend was great. I mean, anytime you come back from a double digit lead late in the fourth quarter, that says a lot about who you are as a team. But as far as the culture change that you mentioned, I don't know if I'm tasting the Kool-Aid at this point. I might be pouring it, but we saw this before.
Oh, it's just in the glass right now. Okay.
Yeah, it's just in the glass. So, you know, we saw this when they went 10-6 under Jim Schwartz that year. A little bit too early to tell, but they do have a favorable schedule, which sets up nice for them, you know. So I think they got a good shot, but in my opinion, a little too early to tell if this is the real deal.
Well, I tell you what, in Caldwell, I trust. I think Caldwell is the premier reason why this team is why I am guzzling down the Kool-Aid right now. I just love it. I'm a big Jim Caldwell fan, especially after this weekend. Folks, again, we got 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know, we try to recap as much as we can here each and every Monday on Current Sports. And, you know, so much so that we decided to bring to you our weekend winners each and every Monday, where we look at the weekend and point out, you know, and sort of think outside of the box and bring to you, you know, individuals, teams, you know, athletes, whoever it may be in the sports world, who we thought won this weekend. We're winners in our eyes. So here it is, our Current Sports weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best.
Yeah, I just want to break out and sing every time I hear that, man. Shout out to Karate Kid. Gotta love that. But these are our best around, okay? You know, and I guess I'll start this thing off, guys. I gotta go with, and this is probably a you guys saw this coming. You guys know what is coming right now. How about them Cowboys, baby? Woo! They are the hottest team in the NFL. They have won 6 straight. With a big rivalry win on Sunday against the New York Giants. Hey, Dez Bryant, you're my guy. You are my guy right now. Dez Bryant is showing why he is one of the best receivers, arguably, other than Megatron, the best receiver in the game. I think Dez Bryant, he's making plays happen. No matter, you can put 3 guys on him. His ability to catch in traffic is just bar none. I mean, unbelievable stuff. Tony Romo, you're looking great right now. I don't want to sip the Tony Romo Kool-Aid right now because that's definitely bit me in the butt many times in the past. You know, and a lot of Cowboys fans feel that same way. But the Cowboys, they've won 6 straight right now. They're looking like they are the hottest team in the league. And, man, it's not often where the Lions, my hometown team, and my Cowboys both win. So, hey, I'm starting it off with that. Jack, what's yours, my man?
Gosh, there's so many to pick from. You know, I have to have 3 weekend winners. First one, DeMarco Murray. The guy's almost got 1,000 rushing yards on the year already.
Yeah.
He's going over 100 in every game. Second one, Tony Lippett had another strong game, another 100 receiving performance
for
Michigan
State.
How about
that catch? Did you see that catch?
The one over the shoulder on the sideline after Connor Cook scrambled, that was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And my third is Denard Robinson, who had a 100-yard rushing game in their win over the Browns yesterday. Also rushed for a touchdown. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I did not see that. That's a good one. Denard is a sleeper. Alex, what do you got, my man?
I'll go with 2 quick ones. The first, we haven't talked about it yet, but how about the Jets after their abysmal start to acquire Percy Harvin? It gives Geno or whoever they decide to put in, Vic, whoever it is, some kind of a weapon for that team that really hasn't had any receivers to go to so far this year. So I thought that was a great move. You wonder why in the world is Percy Harvin being traded away to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, after watching some of the guys talk about it, it seems that Percy might have had a problem in the locker room.
Yeah, he was a locker room head.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You know, in the Jets, don't get me. I mean, they've lost, 6 straight, I think, now? 6 straight weeks they've lost now. Of course, losing to the Patriots yesterday. A close game, though. 27-25, I believe. But you know, looking at it, though, well, that was October 16th, so they had a bye this week, the week before that, excuse me. But, you know, it just shows that it doesn't matter how good you are, character means so much, in today's sporting world. Not even just the NFL. I mean, Percy Harvin is one of my favorite guys to watch on the television. He is unbelievable. I mean, you could, you know, with Pete Carroll, he tried to make him that running back / wide receiver, you know, hybrid type of a player, which he was very great at. Unbelievable player. Just a headache in the locker room,
yeah,
though.
And my second, though, you got to give it to Brad Keselowski from NASCAR.
Yeah, that's one of mine. That's my second one.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, to stay alive to the eliminator round, I mean, that's a really tough place to get with NASCAR. I mean, it's kind of like if you're playing golf, you're trying to make, you know,
trying to make the cut.
Or trying to make the Ryder Cup team. I mean, this is for the elimination round. Mm. So,
yeah.
You know, good for Brad Keselowski. I mean, going against Kenseth and that last lad, that was a quite the scene. So.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Brad, you know, again, you talk about him. He basically, you know, saved his season with that win at Talladega. With that win, it pushes him into the third round of the Sprint Cup Championship. So, Brad, hats off to you. And, you know, Brad, of course, was involved in a lot of controversy not too long ago with the whole garage dispute and fight that took place. He was fined, I believe it was $50,000. So, hey, Brad, you get the W, you kind of put that behind you. Let's see what happens now. It's going to get interesting as the season now dwindles down for him. But, yes, he did save his season with that win at Talladega. So, shout out to Brad. And my third one, last but not least, I want to shout out the St. Louis Rams. The Rams, first off, my Cowboys hand the Seahawks a loss, the defending champion Seahawks a loss. And the St. Louis Rams come out of nowhere and were just really giving it to the Seahawks all game. I don't know if you saw the trick play, though. I want to shout out not just the St. Louis Rams, but the 2 trick plays they pulled off. I've never really seen this in football. I don't know if you guys have seen it before. I've never seen Jack is saying no, he hasn't seen it before. But did you see it, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, but I've never seen it before.
I've never seen it before. A kickoff happened. Folks, if you haven't seen it, you got to check it out. I'm pretty sure it's blowing up YouTube right now. You know, on one kickoff, you know, the ball goes down the field, and, of course, you know, players naturally go towards the guy who's going to catch the ball, tackle him or try to tackle him, and then, you know, ensue for the next drive. What the St. Louis Rams decided to do was disguise one guy as, you know, a fake returner, if you will. So it looked like one player was going to catch the ball, right? I don't know what player it was, but it looked like he was going to catch it. Tavon Austin, it was, did Jock said. So Tavon, you know, he's looking up in the air, waiting on the ball to come down. So everybody is naturally going towards Tavon. But the ball wasn't nowhere in his vicinity.
Basically, they run a punt return right.
Yeah, it ran
Rams,
to the right.
The Rams have a punt return coverage right.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have all their players moved to the right, but actually they have their guy on the left waiting for the punt in case it goes over there, and then there's no other lineman to block
him. Yeah, and he catches it. Everybody thinks that, you know, Tavon has the ball, but the other guy does, and he just runs it down the field. Nobody sees it. Touchdown. And then the fake punt. Did you see the fake punt? Beautifully executed, and really just kind of put the seal on the lid for that game. Unbelievable stuff. But St. Louis Rams, hey, that was gutsy. That was some gutsy stuff, man, and very well executed. All right, 4 minutes left in the show. Have to talk about the man, the myth, the legend. Yes, Mr. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, I watched just about much of that game last night before turning it off as it started to get out of hand for the 49ers. But the Broncos took on the 49ers last night. Broncos were at home. And, Peyton Manning is now the career leader, breaking Brett Favre's career touchdown passing record of 509 after throwing four TDs in last night's win against the San Francisco 49ers. Manning also broke Tom Brady's record for touchdown passes in a season after he threw for 55 in 2013. Manning currently leads the league for TD passes this year with 19 through week 7. Hats off to Peyton. I thought it was really cool when that moment happened. I believe it was a pass to Demaryius Thomas. As Demaryius got 2 feet in, and it was really cool. Did you see it, Jock? I don't know. They started passing the ball around and kind of, because, you know, when something like that happens, it immediately is going to go into the Football Hall of Fame. So you have to, you know, harbor the ball, and, you know, a guy takes it to the Football Hall of Fame and puts it in glass and whatnot. So Peyton wanted to grab the ball, and his teammates joked around with him, and they started to throw the ball around to annoy Peyton a little bit. But it hilarious stuff. They took some time to announce it, you know, via the speakers in the stadium. And Peyton Manning, you know, he waved to everybody and kind of did a real quick salute. And I thought it was just a real cool moment. And what does he do after that? He goes straight to the sideline, sits on the bench, and starts preparing for the next drive. Gotta love that. Peyton Manning, where does he etch in your top quarterbacks of all time,
exactly,
Alex?
Exactly what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I think he has to be in the top 10 somewhere, at least. I mean, there are great quarterbacks. Obviously, he holds his record, but you're talking passing yards, touchdowns.
Just top 10, not top 5?
That's the thing. I think we got to look more into it on Wednesday.
Because that's the argument with Peyton, that he's the best regular season quarterback of all time. A lot of people feel that, but in the playoffs, it had exuded different things. I mean, he played in the Super Bowl last year, couldn't get the job done against the Seattle Seahawks, but I think that was more so. You can't put it all on one person for not winning in the playoffs, though. But I guess we'll sort of go into that more in depth tomorrow, though. That's going to be an interesting conversation, folks. But, hey, thanks a lot for joining us on the Monday edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We're going to have a fantastic week for you. For Current Sports TV, I'll be sitting down with MMA, mixed martial artist, amputee fighter. Yes, he has one incredible story, folks. His name is Ronald Mann. Ronald will be joining me this week on Current Sports TV. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. We'll also have Justin Rose, reporter from WXYZ Channel 7. He'll be joining me to talk a little Lions. And just a fantastic week in general, folks. You don't want to miss any of it. Again, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week. And as always, be easy, people.